A narcissist can only be a narcissist with somebody.
A narcissist is going to be a narcissist in any room, in any situation but that is in.
Being self-sacrificing to me ends up being just as bad.
Everybody else pats you on the back because, yeah, this is what's supposed to be done.
We think that the good work is supposed to be for free and the bad work you get paid for.
It's harder for you to look at things in the way of receiving things.
If you view yourself as higher than everybody else, you're never going to give anything. If you view yourself as lower than everybody else, you're going to give everything.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Yeah, action.
There's been a lot of talk about narcissism this, right? I feel like I don't run into a lot of narcissists in my life. I feel like I've run into a lot of people who end up being, there's a word for it.
Victims of narcissism?
Oh.
Well, yes, victims of narcissism, I guess, yeah. But I was going to say, I feel like I run into more people who end up being, there's a term for it that we couldn't, that I can't remember what the word was, but they end up being, I feel like I run into more people who end up being self-sacrificing than being narcissists. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question for you guys would be, one, I'll start off with one, what do you feel like you encounter more, people who are narcissists or people who are self-sacrificing?
Can we define narcissism?
All right.
I went to college, but I ain't
go to that school. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so according to Google, the personality qualities of narcissism include thinking very highly of oneself, needing admiration, believing others are inferior, and lacking empathy for others. So it says 5 key habits often associated with narcissism include a grandiose sense of self-importance, preoccupation with fantasies of success and power, a need for excessive admiration, a sense of entitlement, and a lack of empathy. These traits can manifest in various ways, such as a belief in one's own specialness, exploitation of others for personal gain, and envy of others, or the belief that others envy them. Narcissism is also a spectrum, right?
I was just going to say, based off the definitions, in my mind, how it makes sense. Narcissism is the same as a superiority complex.
I guess, yeah. Like, this one says, a personality trait characterized by an inflated sense of self-importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and lack of empathy for others. I think the main thing, though, so yeah, superiority complex, I think it's very self-focused, but a lot of the main things that I keep saying on here is that there's a lack of empathy.
Yeah.
And, so, you said, do we encounter
more people who are...
Yeah, who would be close. Yeah, do you encounter more people who are narcissists or would be more self-sacrificing?
Okay, so first, let's preface this by, we are not doctors.
At all.
We went to college.
We ain't go to that school,
okay? All right? This is just our opinions. Now that I'm thinking about it based off of the definitions, I actually don't know. Like, I think that I have encountered or even befriended more people that were the opposite.
Victims of narcissism.
I wouldn't say victims, though. I would say that maybe...
They're not narcissists.
Because when I was looking into it, it said, like, the opposite would be an echoist or empath. Most of what I saw said an echoist is typically defined as the opposite, the actual opposite. And an echoist is someone who, in contrast to a narcissist, excessively prioritizes the needs and desires of others, often to their own detriment. They may struggle to express their own needs, have difficulty saying no, and fear being the center of attention. And then there, it talks about a Greek mythology story, mythological story. But I think maybe I've encountered more people, and an empath is somebody who has a heightened ability to sense and feel the emotions of others, often to the point of absorbing those emotions as their own. So I think I've probably befriended or associated more with the opposite of a narcissist. But I think that's because that's what I was. Like well, I'm an empath, but I didn't learn about an echoist until today. And I think that I might have been an echoist.
Word. I might have been an echoist too. They don't think I was an echoist.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong, you know. Mm. But so I think that maybe I've, to my knowledge, I've encountered more of the opposite versus encountering more narcissists. And but that's just what I feel like I've gravitated toward and maybe paid attention to more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, after hearing the definition and everything, I've come in contact with both. I'll be around more of not narcissists than narcissists. But I feel like I've been around people who are actually narcissists, but I didn't classify them as a narcissist. Like, if we go back to the superiority complex, it's a cry for help. Like, you're doing this because you need help. Like, you know that you need help. I'm just the only person that can. I'm no doctor. I'm I just have a heart. Mm-hmm. So I'll be there for the people who need help. And I used to be there for people who need help at the detriment of myself. Because I don't think I need that much help. Or I do need help, but not in those same areas. So if I can help you in this area, somebody else help me in wherever I need help at.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like it's rare that you run into it in terms of a textbook narcissist. I feel like it's rare, but I think you, since you mentioned it being more of a spectrum, I've met my fair share of people who definitely had superiority complexes. And it'll be in subtle stuff. It'll be something like, oh yeah, you know, they might feel smarter because they can do something. And it'll be like, all right, but you just are able to do a skill. Nobody, you know. But I think in general, I've met more people who are more self-sacrificing or more echoist than I have narcissists. Were you about to say something?
I was just going to say, I feel like I was able to be around narcissists and not feel like they're narcissists because I'm trying to say this without seeming narcissistic. like, if they feel like they're better than people at stuff and people are inferior, if we line each other up, if we standing next to each other, you could clearly see that you're not better than me at this thing. Like, if we actually line up and do whatever, you not just about to blow me out the water. And you can't convince me that I'm not good at this thing because now it's me versus you. If we gonna compete, if it's a team thing, all right, my team could do the work. I'm a team player, so I'm gonna let them do the work. But if it's just me and you, mano y mano, mani y mumana da 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 da.
What?
Mano y womano. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. Mano y womano.
He's like, he's with the karate move? What the? This is that move. What the?
I say all that to say.
Doing a Nick Cannon and Love No Cause a thing. Now, hi-ya. Like, what the? My bad, go ahead.
I say all that to say, a narcissist can only be a narcissist with people who aren't going to challenge their theory of the superiority. So, go ahead.
Finish your statement and then I'll jump in.
I was going to say, so if you're around me and you say, let's say you could beat me in basketball. We play one-on-one all the time and I'm killing you. Or I beat you just as much as you beat me. You can't really say that you're better than me because we could play again. And I think I'm going to win. Because it's mano y mano.
So a narcissist is going to be a narcissist no matter who the narcissist is around. I just want to be clear.
Fish is going to be a fish no matter if you put it in water.
Right. Let's be clear. A narcissist is going to be a narcissist in any room, in any situation that it's in. It's not a matter of being challenged. That's why narcissism is a spectrum. I think what you're talking about is the actual gray area that is having just a strong confidence in yourself versus being a narcissist. So like, nah, because narcissism, I watched a thing or two on it a few months ago.
Hey, yo.
No, because when I was looking into people pleasing and stuff like that, like understanding like narcissism, I didn't do a deep dive because it was just a lot of information, but understanding that a narcissist, it doesn't matter who is in the room. It doesn't matter if it's if they are in a room full of other narcissists or they're in a room full of people pleasers or echoists or empaths. They still gonna be that narcissist at the end of the day.
But the narcissist powers don't work. Like, it's like,
It's not powers, though.
That man said kryptonite. he said somebody who can compete is their kryptonite.
Yes. Because crazy. I can back it up.
Just because you could back it up don't mean they gonna stop being a narcissist.
So it don't work. It's not working.
People still gonna talk shit whether you beat them or not.
It's not working. I'm gonna talk back.
Okay.
We're here for sport.
That's being there for sport and being a narcissist are two different things.
Yeah, that's
two different things. It's not a sport for them. It's a way of life.
Oh, word. It's a sport for me not being a narcissist. But
it's the way that their mind works.
Like just combating the narcissist tendencies. Because, so I can let you know that we're not regular.
But also narcissism shows up in different ways. Right. Like it's not always just I'm overly boastful or whatever, or I think I can beat you. Sometimes it's in subtle ways where it's like manipulation and stuff like that. So we have encountered narcissistic behaviors before from different people. But I'm not qualified to tell you that you're a narcissist because I don't know enough about it.
I just found out the definition today.
Right.
Yeah, nah. I knew what it was, and I knew how to use it in sentences and in context. But hearing the actual definition and everything, I encounter a lot of narcissists. But, you know, what'd you used to say? Like, last pod, I'm a strong black man.
Home black man.
Yeah, so I'll be good. I can combat the narcissism.
And I think that's the thing. So like, even when you're talking about being a victim of a narcissist, it's like,
yeah, no, that's serious.
It can go into like forms of manipulation. So
literal gaslighting, it can get heavy.
Yeah, really so. Heavy, really fast, and it's a thing where. Although, like, you are confident in yourself, but, like, they might start doing, like, little things to make you feel like you aren't in control or that you're crazy or, like, just small things. Or you might just be having a conversation with them and it'd be like they tell you you said something that you didn't say. And then they're like, yeah, but you did it. And you're like, nah, what are you talking about? And then you start to, like, question yourself. Like, there's different tactics and stuff like that. There was this one podcast I was watching, and I can't remember the name of the person, but I'm gonna find it. I'll link it in the description. But she's like a expert on narcissism. So she was going over the 5 signs of narcissists. And it's actually like a serious
condition.
Yeah, like even when you Google narcissism, it comes up like the medical conditions with the symptoms and da 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 da. It don't come up as a regular definition. Like it comes up as if here are the steps to cure narcissism type of thing. And it's a lot of different articles and stuff, but it's deeper than just being overly confident. Like being overly confident, I feel like is just one.
That's just being cocky.
Well, yeah. But I think with narcissism, it even takes it a step further than that. So, like, but it's like everything encompassed.
I think with narcissists in general, it's more their view of the world is not other people centered at all. Like, there's no, even when they do wrong, they didn't do wrong. It was somebody else. Mm-hmm. And only reason I thought about this, the whole topic, was because I was thinking, I don't even, as much as we, I mean, everybody talks about, like, people pleasing, but, like, the on the far end of the narcissism spectrum, being self-sacrificing, to me, ends up being just as bad. Because it's like, you don't, you're literally, like, sacrificing and destroying yourself in order to make other people feel better. So you end up losing anyway. So I was just thinking about it, like, I definitely have met people that were on the narcissism scale that were definitely a little closer to the to the far end, but I feel like I've met more people who are on the opposite end, and they don't do any better either. It's not even like a good thing.
I feel like I said all of that, but I definitely agree with with the sentiment that it, at the end of the day, it's kind of like it's a mental illness at the end of the day. Mm. And like, I look at it as a cry for help. Mm. Like, if you're doing all this and it's like, it's really not called for. What was the last thing that you said? Oh, people being on the far end of the spectrum, self-sacrificing. Mm. I feel like we be trained or brought up to be self-sacrificing. So I can see why it'd be so many people who don't know how to do for themselves, or like put themselves first, like think of themselves first, because a lot of times, from my experience, we're taught to put others first. Even like when it hold the door for people, like I'm like, some days I don't feel like holding the door. Now I'm the person that be like, if you more than 10 steps away, the door is closed.
But you know what the crazy part is, yo. Whenever you actually hold the door for somebody and they super far away, you can see like, they're like, yo, just let it go, cause now they gotta hurry up, and you just, thank you. And it's like, now I'm all, it's just let the door close.
I'm like, you ain't gotta rush. Yeah. I ain't in no hurry. This me about to clock in to work.
Yo, it'd be crazy.
I want to make sure you on time.
And it'd be crazy because especially when I be at work and then I'm watching, it might be a delivery person and somebody who's there as a guest. Let's say the guest is going first and they're going through the door, and the delivery person's like, all right, can you hold it? And they let the door close. I was like, dang, that was, you could have held the door. But then there's other times where it's like they're holding the door and the delivery person's like, you good. And now they gotta run. And I'm like, dang, that's just, that example is funny to me.
But yeah. I was just I agree, though. I do think that a lot of us are brought up and raised with the ideals of, to be more self-sacrificing than anything. I really think that goes along with a lot of the religious practices, though.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird thing, right? Even when we've talked about money in the past and we talk about, like, being rich or how money... Oh, yeah. The Bible verse of... Actually, this isn't the Bible verse, but the saying that money is the root of all evil. With that as like the overarching thing, you start to be told to, okay, you're supposed to live this particular way. You're supposed to live very minimalistically. You're supposed to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which is not a bad thing. You guys should be doing that. But it becomes a thing.
Even with that, sorry to cut your wisdom. Even with that, you're still putting yourself first. Because you treating people this way because you know how you want them to treat you.
But that's not how it's taught. Right. How it's taught is you're going to go to hell if you don't do these things. That's how it's taught.
Crazy.
So then you start to do more things for other people. Even like participating in the church, being a part of different events and different aspects and organizations, blah, blah, blah. It is exhausting. And if there are times where, okay, it's fulfilling, it was fun, but when you constantly get in the habit of doing everything for everybody, everybody else pats you on the back because, yeah, you doing God's work. This is what's supposed to be done. But ain't nobody checking. No, nobody's like checking to make sure, have you eaten? When was the last time you slept? Have you been drinking water? So you get into this habit of, it's not about me, it's about y'all. Even me, I was just talking to Damani about this earlier. Like a lot of the decisions that I make when I be thinking about stuff, it's more so, how can this benefit us as the collective versus when y'all make decisions? Because I think this is even more ingrained into women versus how men are raised. So when y'all make decisions, and I'm not saying every single decision is like this, a lot of your decisions are more just individual based. Like, how is this going to help or hurt me? Not how is this going to help or hurt we, type of thing. And it can be with small things. It can be with large things. But it's hard to get out of that mindset when it's so ingrained in you to do things for other people. That's how you get into heaven. That's how people applaud you. That's how you do good in life, is if you're doing things for other people. Because if you're doing things for yourself, then that means that you're not doing things for the Lord. And it's like, but God told me to do this.
He told me to say no.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but then it just becomes a perpetual cycle of self-denial. And I know it because I've experienced it. But I do think on both ends of the spectrum, whether it's you being a narcissist or you being completely self-denying or echoist, how it was placed in the definition, it's not helpful. It's not beneficial. Yeah. It's not healthy. That's good. Healthy, that's a good thing. Neither one is healthy at all. And no matter how you spin it, because you still wind up, whether you're looking like the saint or you're looking like the villain, you still at a disadvantage mentally.
Yeah, I was going to say how I had look at it now is you're important. You're just not the only important thing that exists. Or I think on the flip, because for a lot of the, on the narcissist side, it's like, I'm the only thing that's important. And then that's it. And then on the egoist side, it's like, everybody else is important. I'm not important. And it's like, nah, neither one of those are true.
We're all just important.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, when it comes to whether it's your community, whether it's existence, right? Everybody loses out if you decide to destroy yourself. Like, nobody gets a benefit from you sacrificing yourself to save everybody else. Like, the only thing that happens is we lose you, and we don't get a chance to experience you. And on the flip side, if everything is about you,
nobody wants to be around you.
Yeah. So, but it's like, you're not doing anything for anybody. So you're not helping. So in either scenario, you're not helping anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really just hurting yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just what you just said made me think of the video that I sent y'all yesterday on Instagram. I seen Shakoya liked it. So I know you liked it before I sent it to y'all. So I was about to be like,
I'm not even on social media. I don't know what Shakoya liked this message.
It was a video that I was talking about always being in a receiving state and change your perspective on money and everything else. So, like, say you paid your cell phone bill. And now one perspective is, I paid my cell phone bill. I just spent such and such. But then it's like, but what did you receive? I love music. So I have one more month of Apple Music. Mm-hmm. This podcast is not sponsored by Apple Music, but Apple, if you want to sponsor us, give us a call.
We're here.
The Great Area podcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. Go ahead.
And also check the links in the description. We got some people who released some music recently.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah. In the description. But go ahead.
But,
thank y'all for tuning into this commercial. Now, back to the show.
We do need to add commercials and things. But
we do.
Yeah. What was I saying? Change your mindset. Oh, yeah. Change your perspective on everything. So, even when I'm circulating money, I'm still receiving something. Or I'm helping such and such. And I'm receiving something. So it was like, even if somebody give you a bottle of water, you just received $1.69, and the water was $1.69. So you received a bottle of water that was $1.69. So technically, you got $1.69
in resources,
and you quenched your thirst. You was able to cool down, and just like think of the positive things. Basically, being grateful for everything and changing the perspective. And my last thing was, while I was at work, I've been spiraling. Not this week, but mm-hmm. in the past, the recent past. But I was thinking, like, okay, I go to work to meet people. Like, I had the opportunity to connect with so many different people just because I go to work. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know what that's going to turn into, but I know it's going to turn into something. Because either y'all going to give me an opportunity, or when I start doing my own events or the gray area events, y'all going to show love. Y'all going to come through. Oh, such and such is doing. He really doing it. I'm like, yeah, we here, baby. Yeah. It's not a game. Ooh, go ahead.
You just muted yourself again.
I always mute myself. I do it in real life.
I know. Anyways.
That's just me.
But I was going to say, in regards to that part, my bad, you was about to say something? Go for it.
I was just going to say, when you are living in the state of self-denial, you're not in the state, it's harder for you to look at things in the way of receiving things. So you get into the habit of giving, but not looking at it from, okay, what did I get from this? From this moment, like maybe you are doing some community service or something like that, and you just gave your time, but you're not looking at it like, I gave my time, but what I gained was a sense of satisfaction, or I was able to help somebody, or you're not looking at it from a receiving end. So then in other spaces in your life, you look at things from a space of lack versus looking at it from the space of, what did I get from this moment? As I gave this thing out, what did I get from this as well? And then because you feel like you're not supposed to be receiving anything for whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to piggyback off what you said, I feel like it's because it's a thing of, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So if this is what I'm supposed to do, or I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do, I shouldn't get anything in return because this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is crazy because I learned it from, I think it might have been conversation with God, but just the work that we think that we deem to be the Lord's work, the work that we deem to be good work, we're like, I don't need to receive any money from it, right? So we will do that, but then if it's a job that we hate, we're like, all right, I'll go to a job that I hate. So and because of that, at the very least, you have to pay me for that thing, which is crazy.
I was thinking about this the other day. And I'm doing my best to change that, because any work I do is good. That's how I feel. Mm. And it be bothering me that I do so good of a job at this place that I don't want to be at. But I'm grateful because I'm receiving connection. But I do so good of a job at any job that I worked at. Like, I do so good. And then people look at me like, I'm supposed to be here. In my mind, I'm like, I'm supposed to be saving the world right now. Mm-hmm. I'm Mr. Incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to be at this desk doing taxes, insurance. I'm supposed to be saving the world. Where is my super suit? But people, it be bothering me that people see me in this light, but they don't see me how I see myself or how I actually am, because I allowed myself to do such good work here, because in my mind, this is normal. This is what you do in order to sustain your life. You do something that you don't want to do so you can fund the thing that you actually want to do, when in all actuality, the thing that you want to do will fund itself in your life if you focus on that thing that you actually want
to
do.
I mean, that's also tied to the idea of, we think that the good work is supposed to be for free, and the bad work you get paid for. That's why they were saying that
slavery.
But that's why we think that the people who have a lot of money, they have to do something bad to get a lot of money, because the people who do good work, they're supposed to do it for free. And it's like, of course you're not going to make no money that way. But go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you think about it like this, as you guys were talking, I just had this thought. Even the pastors get a love offer.
Mm-hmm. They be running it up.
Like, they're getting paid. Now, not all pastors, because I think it does come down to that belief. Like, I think that belief is something that has been drilled into a lot of us. And I think probably more Black people than any other race. But because of that, it's something that it's like you might see some pastors that aren't really making that much money from this, or they're a pastor, but they also work a regular job, which isn't a bad thing. But when you think about, like, if you think about it from a perspective of we give offering to the church for the building fund, for blah, blah, blah. The pastors, even if you're a guest pastor, you get a love offering. Mm-hmm. You getting paid to be there. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. I think that's something that we have to, us now, we have to teach the younger generations. As we have kids and stuff like that, we gonna have to tell our kids, like, hey, it's okay to be paid for the things that you love to do.
But I don't feel like the younger generations have a problem with being paid for what they, from what I've been seeing, the younger generations, they running it up. I feel like it's our generation who have been led astray and, like, been stuck. So the children that we have and the generations that came after us or that's coming after us, I feel like we instill in them what we wish was instilled in us. So I don't feel like they be having the younger generations don't have a problem running it up or being paid for what they want to do.
Well, I can understand that. But I think it's also just a thing where we still should remind them.
Word. I agree.
Because right now everybody's doing this big rush to tech, right?
They still doing it?
People still getting into tech, still doing cybersecurity, but to let them know that it's not just these ways for you to make money, right? But you can also go about it in the way that you desire. You just have to be intentional about that. Versus you don't need to be a narcissist in order to make it. You don't have to manipulate people. You don't have to gaslight people and all that stuff. But you also don't have to completely deny yourself of the things that you enjoy for you to be able to make some type of money or to live the life that you want to live.
I don't think you should deny yourself of the things that you enjoy. I feel like you were just saying, remind them of it. It's our job to nurture the gifts and skills and abilities in other people, like other generations.
But it's also not only just like to just remind them, but to show them. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, even if they are running it up on TikTok, we've been here through a million different social media platforms. Like, we know that some of them is going to last, some of them is just going to disappear. And you don't know which one that's going to be. Because MySpace is still a thing. It's still up. But ain't nobody on it. So, like, just thinking about it like that, like, really living out the sky is the limit. But knowing that that means that I can do it from this space. That I can do it from a space where I can take account for my own interests. But I can also take account of the interests of the group.
Like, I was just going to say, I feel like the biggest thing is knowing yourself and also knowing your interests so you can actually focus on this thing and being able to pivot. Or just like, once you know who you are and what you're doing, it's easy to show up on other platforms or in different spaces because you haven't changed. Just the medium in which you're getting it to the people has changed.
Yeah, but even just the idea that you don't have to show up on any platform and make money.
Oh, yeah, you don't. Yeah. All you really got to do is change your relationship with money.
Well, I was going to say, to be honest, it's about your relationship with yourself. I think all of this is, if I'm circling back just a little bit, but between like the narcissism and somebody who's self-sacrificing.
This, or egoist.
Yeah, egoist. Yeah, let's see, say that first. So between narcissist and egoist, I think it's a matter of how you view yourself. And so, again, if you view yourself as higher than everybody else, you're never going to give anything. Mm-hmm. If you view yourself as lower than everybody else, you're going to give everything. And then it's like, it's almost, in my head, I'm imagining somebody, you see somebody else and they don't got teeth. And you're like, oh, they don't got teeth? Psh, knock your teeth out, give them to them. It's like, all right, that's cool, but now you don't have teeth. And it's like, nah, I was able to give them the teeth. And it's like, but you're giving everything that you have. Like, and I understand, I hear you, give everything that you have to your creative endeavors and all that stuff. But don't you can only give but so much until you don't have anything. So I think having a better idea of your who you are and being aware of who you are. And being able to set the boundary of like, this is where I am, so I don't have to lose myself in
whatever
else is going on. And being able to separate and having that level of awareness stops you from doing some of the other stuff, like being the narcissist or going on the other side and being like, yeah, I'm gonna just give everything away for free and I'm not gonna get paid for nothing. It's like, nah, I understand, like I'm giving you guys something and I know that I'm gonna eventually get something. I'm not gonna say no when it comes here because I understand that, like, I also deserve nice things.
Right.
As we're traveling through this conversation, it brings me back to Shakoya's favorite word. If y'all is with us from the beginning, I think y'all know what I'm hitting at. Say it with me, guys.
Harmony.
Oh, wow. Yes, Lord.
Which word are you about to say?
Empath. No. I didn't know where you said from the beginning. I'm like, from the beginning of this conversation, where do we go?
You meant the beginning of the podcast. Yeah, you talking about
back in the days, yes, when we were young. We're not a kid anymore.
Yes.
Harmony. Mm-hmm.
Harmony. Mm-hmm.
It's just all about harmony. When you think about the dualities of life, mm-hmm, and you bring them together, it's all about harmony. Mm-hmm. How can we harmonize? You sing, that's why. That's why it's a harmony. You know, we all can't be sopranos. Like, we can't live our lives as a soprano. We are dynamic. That's Damani's word. We are dynamic beings on this journey called life.
I thought he was going to say on this land.
I was going to say on this flat earth.
That man said he live on the flat earth.
I was trying to think, should I say round or flat? But I just said, you know, this journey called life. But yeah, it's all about a harmony. Finding your flow and your pace and what actually works for you. And you... It's all about giving and receiving. So doing everything. Not doing everything.
Doing
the things.
Gather yourself, King. Gather yourself.
What I was actually thinking about was, because we kept referencing church in the Bible and everything. And I was going to say, actually, like, living like Christ. Mm-hmm. Not what people say Christ was like, but having that relationship with the souls. And deciding what Christ-like is to you.
Even if you look at the journey of Christ, I think the part of it that we're talking about, that we get the self-sacrificing thing, is God sacrificed himself like for our sins, that kind of thing. And I think that's where the crux of it is for Black people specifically. It's like, all right, cool. And that's where the idea of sacrificing is. But if you look at the rest of the journey, like during his life, he was assured. He was confident. He was, if he needed to tell you, hey, yo, move the rock. If you want me to make a miracle, move the rock. Like, he would, and there's a lot of elements of like, of both. He knew who he was, as well as he wasn't just self-sacrifice. He wasn't just sacrificing. He was also a level of confident, assured, and aware, and that kind of thing.
I was just going to say, he also lived a very full life.
Yeah.
When he went places, people gave him things. He got free food.
Instant food.
He got instant clothes.
He had a free place.
Instant haircut. I don't know. Who was lining up?
His beard. That's
lining up Jesus. Oh, let me get this right. That's the Son of God you lining up, boy.
But whenever he came into town, people gave him a free place to stay. Like, he was instant vacation. He was living his life.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, after what Damani was saying, I don't know exactly what he was saying, but the thought that came in my mind was, God or Jesus sacrificed himself so I don't have to.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
So.
Come on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know who that was from.
The Lord!
Oh! Come on. All right. Yeah. But yeah, he sacrificed himself so I don't have to. So if Jesus died on the cross for our sins, or no, not pardon me. Take that out. I rebuke that statement that I just said. If Jesus died on the cross for our salvation. Say it with us, class.
Salvation.
My bad.
Then I'm already saved, right?
Yeah.
I'm good.
You're already salvated. Covered,
I'm, yeah. Hey, I was booking with a word, but I didn't know it, so I'm glad you said it.
I don't know. I don't think that's a real word.
Salivated. Salivate.
That's salivated. Yeah, that's not it. Salivated. That's crazy. That's
salivated.
Salivated. Salivated is crazy.
Well, yeah, we good. We divinely protected.
God saved you.
Covered. God. Divinely supported.
You know our heart, God.
Divinely salivated.
God, you know our heart, Lord.
This is hilarious.
No, we went to school. We ain't going to ask. Hey, yo.
What is happening?
But I do like that, though.
So I thought of that because I be telling everybody, like, my parents worked hard, so I don't have to.
Come on.
Like, I'm not here. Like, thank life you, is parents. Easy. Thank you. I love you.
Love you so much.
God is with you.
Grandparents as well.
Yeah, y'all worked hard.
Thank you.
So I don't have to. And like, people lived hard, arduous lives.
So I don't have to.
So I'm going to live the easiest, most creative, most freeing, most abundant, most happiest, most joyous life that I can imagine. While bringing my imagination to life, connecting with people, places, and things. Connecting with people, places, and things. Community. Communion. Commentary.
The soul! Crazy.
Now we could pass that collection plate around.
Let's get a love offer going. Check the links in the descriptions if you want to.
Love offer.
You want to give a love offer?
Donations.
Donations. Give me your grit money.
Yeah, we don't want your Jordan money. We don't want your Jordan money. We don't want your Lexus money, Mercedes money. We just want your grit money.
Your grit money. Give me your grit money. Oh, man. But going back to the topic, I do strongly feel that neither one is healthy for the way that it's not healthy mentally, but it's also just the way that you live your life is not healthy. And I don't know. I don't know if narcissists be happy, but I just feel like that's a miserable
life.
Yeah, like, because to feel like you have to, and maybe it's not a thing like you feel like you have to, but it's a thing that you're just doing. Right. Because if we are looking at it as like an illness on a spectrum, but to have to constantly manipulate people in order to get them to want to be around you is wild. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work. That is a lot of work.
But I mean, what the wild part is, on the flip side, that's technically the same thing you're trying to do when you're doing your self-sacrificing. You're trying to make sure that everybody is accommodated, that everybody's new, and
so
it's like
they can help you
so that they can like you. It's the exact same thing. That's why I was saying, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, neither one of those are good because both of them are steeped in manipulation.
Yeah, wow, I didn't even think about it like that, but yes, you're doing these things so that people will like you or want to be around you, or so that you get something from those people.
Without having to ask.
Who? Without having to ask. Because who wants to ask for help?
That's why I got an instant mentor. Show me the way. Elves. 12 disciples.
But, I think that... So, yeah, I don't... Find y'all harmony. Find y'all harmony. We in the gray area. Find your gray area. Stick in the gray area. I don't like how I said that.
Yeah,
it's all right. We'll try again later. Sorry,
you know how to clean it up.
Yeah, that's it. You know what to do.
Come to the gray area, meet the source.
Do y'all have any final thoughts on narcissism, egoists, empaths, people pleasing, self-denial? Do y'all have any final thoughts on narcissism or self-denial or the gray area that is in between, finding your harmony, your balance?
I think everything was said. When you said it the first time, I thought you were talking to America. That's why I didn't have anything.
What about you?
Yeah, I think it is, all of it is a spectrum. And I think finding your harmony somewhere in the middle is more beneficial for you.
Yeah. I will say it all starts with self-love. Y'all already know. But like, seriously, make your decisions that are best for you, but also take into account those around you as well. And don't deny yourself of things. We were meant to live an abundant life, a joyful life, an easy life. And also, don't be a narcissist. And if you are, get some help, man. We'll need some.
Don't be self-sacrificing.
We need you here.
Yeah, we need you. We need you. But we'll link some resources in the description below for this episode. So if you want to learn more about narcissism or self-sacrificing stuff, we'll leave that stuff down below. So you
and
guys
also,
can take a look.
If you want to sponsor this podcast, we're here. The email is in the description and you can reach out and we will answer.
Yes. Or if you want to edit this podcast, the email is in the description. Reach out. Serious inquiries only. We will talk to you guys. Oh, I'm Shakoya D.
By Demond Breezington Ear.
It's your boy, Demond.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. If you like this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked up on the screen. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding.
And also, join our Patreon. The link is in the description. Stream the new music that has been released.
Ping pong the lonely road. I'm holding on, Lord, only know so.
Both of them have actually released music. So you'll also see those linked in the description and up on the screen so you can watch them on YouTube as well. My stuff is coming soon. But we will see you guys next week.
Adios. Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
See me?
And get that airy fairy shit up out of here, man. Say that shit plain. Say it plain.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, hit me with another jam.
Get on my face. Get on my motherfucking
face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.